So that is the story that gets us to where we are today with a podcast episode based on the concepts of truth, meaning, and perspective titled How to Get On with Other People. Greetings and welcome to Unabridged You, the podcast that is dedicated to celebrating the entirety of who you are. I'm your host, Julie, and the topic of today's conversations are truth, meaning, and perspective. These three ideas have been present in some way, shape, or form in all the episodes of the podcast to date, and I imagine they will be present in all episodes going forward because of the nature of the theme of Unabridged You, people's volition to share their stories, and my innate curiosity. These three ideas have actually been jumping out at me as the episodes go by. They have been standing up and waving their hands. In fact, they feel like a bunch of five-year-olds at a school learning to take their turn to speak their mind. Each time these topics are brought up by our guests, I would love to go deeper into them, but I find myself walking a line between giving that curiosity free rein and disrupting our guests' stories when I want to hold space for them to share their stories as they would like. In last week's episode with Leslie from Meaning and Moxie After 50, I did disrupt the story, and that's part of why this episode is appearing today. I hope that by offering these three topics center stage, they might go back to sitting nicely in a straight line, waiting for their time to be called upon. Today, I will also hold space for the PhD that comes after my name on the cover art of this podcast. We've not gone deep into the details of this, and I'm not going to bore you with that today, but it was through the PhD that my comprehension of these three ideas solidified. And if I can do this correctly, I'll be able to use the PhD to create a story to wrap around the facts, to make everything, hopefully, more palatable. That is, if I've learned anything from the awesome storytellers that we've had on the show to date. In fact, maybe I can start by making a proper story. Let's see, we start with characters and settings first, right? A few years ago, in the land of the long white cloud, our protagonist was born into an existence in which she learned fairly early on that it was safe to ask questions. In fact, during the time of her growing up, a common catchphrase was that there are no silly questions, and the idea was populated that if you have it as a question in your mind, somebody else probably does as well. While it was common during the time of her youth for children to be brought up with ideas from religion acquired during Bible study classes or Sunday school or through church and family and community events, the framework that she was brought up with was that we can learn from other people's stories. She liked to listen. She was an observer, a witness. Sitting around the dinner table or on long road trips, because it took 4 hours to get to her grand's every Christmas, her parents often told stories of adventures from their lives, childhood explorations and struggles of adolescence, of joining the workforce, of living, more adventures and travel and trials and tribulations and anything that would keep her and her brother engaged and not fighting in the back seat. She began to comprehend that what she was learning at school were stories as well, and eventually she went out into the world and started her own adventures. She travelled to those places that she had heard of in stories, stood on the stones of castles that were older than the country she had been born into, stood in front of the Big Ben and the Taj Mahal and the Mayan ruins at Chichen Itza that had only ever been words on a page. She stood at Hiroshima and paid her respects. In each of these places, she heard more stories, and they were all different in some way from what she had first been told. She met the people from the different cultures that she had been exposed to in books. She had learned about World War II in a way that made her think that all Germans were bad. And then she met some and realized that they were not as advertised in her history class, and they became some of her closest friends. And her understanding of the world shattered. And that idea that history is written by the victors took up more and more space in her brain, and she started to think more about those ideas of meaning and truth. So she went back to school and she studied people and culture and society through time and space, and she read more books, fiction and non-fiction, and she became particularly fascinated by Neil Gaiman and his ideas in American Gods, where humans could worship things different to gods, like money and the highway and the internet and fame. And then she read more Neil Gaiman, and a quote popped out to her that said, "A life that is like any other, unlike any other." And that light bulb went on, and she felt like Descartes, when he had considered all the ideas that he had ever had and was left with the only thing he could know for sure: "I think, therefore I am." The understanding that a life is like any other because it is unlike any other was the first truth that she could put her whole understanding behind. And she started to let go of her thoughts about what was going on with society and wanted to understand more about the individuals, because she understood that their understanding, the individuals' understandings, came together to create the general understandings and the way that society existed. So she listened further and deeper and observed more and continued on this quest. She realized during one study, where she was asking 50 different people from different ages and different locations about their personal understandings of one particular thing, that all of their understandings were coming from their individual perspectives. If history is written by the victors, they were the victors of their own story, choosing how they would share it, and each of their stories was different from those around them. The difference in their stories was based on their personal perspective, the way that they had been taught or chose to see the world, and through that perspective, they created their own meaning, and then by creating their own meaning, they came to their own truth. But this wasn't enough. She needed to understand more. So she went back and she went deeper into those perspectives, and she saw the pattern. Everything that everybody was saying was based on their previous experiences and their hope for the future. Nothing else. Once she could see this, she could see it with every person she spoke to. So that is the story that gets us to where we are today, with a podcast episode based on the concepts of truth, meaning, and perspective, titled "How to Get On with Other People." I've seen this idea demonstrated visually, so I'm going to try that with my words and you listening. Have you seen the meme, or can you imagine a white piece of paper, and on this piece of paper are drawn two identical figures? They are not particularly tall, they are bald, they are wearing lab coats. I would say they represent older male scientists. And they are standing at each side of the page, looking towards the middle of the page. And in the middle of the page, we as the observer, can see a number that is lying on its side. And the scientist who is standing on the left side of the page will look at this, and their little speech bubble says, "It's a six." And the scientist standing on the right-hand side of the page is looking at this number and the way, the font that it is used. Their little speech bubble says, "It's a nine." And you can see how these two figures looking at this one thing from these two different perspectives can see something different. It's the same that we will have seen with photos in the media and this idea of perspective. I mean, you get to the idea with social media, what is the truth versus the reality, to the point where it's actually the way that people make their money, showing the truth versus the reality, in the way that their reel is made or the way that the photo was taken, or looking at the photo from one perspective and then looking at it from the other perspective and seeing how in that one moment, looking from the different ways could make the thing quite the meaning of the photo or the image quite different, which would lead to what people want to discuss as the truth of that image. As I was going forward in my study and I came to this understanding that everybody had these different perspectives, I was still coming from the idea of you have optimists or pessimists, you know, that there's two sides to a thing. The glass is half full or it's half empty. And this is even though we have been exposed to the idea of 50 shades of grey. I mean, you look outside, well, I look outside my window. I'm not sure what colour jumps out at you, but there's like more than 50 shades of green in the trees around my office right now. So why would there only be positive or negative, a yes or a no, a half full or a half empty? And I created this image and became an artist. I created a cartoon, and in the middle of the cartoon, there is a table, and sitting on the table, there is a glass there is a line marking half. So it's clearly a glass half full, half empty, right? This is the premise that we're starting with. But there's five people looking around this one glass. And of course, there is the glass is half full and the glass is half empty. But that person over there, they just spilled their glass. That person there would prefer to have milk. That person over there is actually hungry, not thirsty. Like, there are so many different ways to look at the one thing. And as I was going into this study, I realized that it was all based on our previous experiences and our hopes for the future. And that's maybe something I can demonstrate with sharing with you a truth. This is a truth for me. It is a lovely day. That is a truth. Now, when you would picture what is a lovely day for you in your mind, I'll share with you what it means for me. I will go deeper into my truth and explain to you my perspective, my meaning, and how I get there. So it's actually raining outside. The sky is grey. There is no wind. The rain is coming down almost vertical white lines. It's just so still. And there's that much rain. And I can see on our driveway that is shiny with water, the individual raindrops plopping up because it's really just that still. And for me, this is a lovely day. So there's many different reasons for that. Some of them are growing up in New Zealand, the sun is super harsh. When it's a rainy day like this, I don't have to put on sunscreen to go outside, and I don't like the smell of sunscreen, so I think this is a lovely day. I'm still recovering. My energy is really low when it's a rainy day. Even though I don't have the energy to go and do anything, I don't feel guilty about not having the energy to go and do something. So right now, it's a lovely day to sit down and read my book, to have that family time, because it's also the weekend, with the kids to sit around and play board games. It's a lovely day. It's a lovely day because it is colder outside and inside. It's autumn, but inside we have the heating on and it's nice and warm. I feel safe and warm. And another reason that it is a lovely day is because where we live now, we collect our house water in these big tanks. Where we live rurally, we're not hooked into the town supply of water. We collect our own water from the rain. And we've been a bit concerned about this recently, but it is raining quite heavily. And that gives me peace and ease, because I know that for the next few days, the idea of having any issues with rain is or having issues with water inside is not anything that I need to be concerned about. So today, with the rain, it is a lovely day. What is a lovely day for you? What if you asked somebody around the table tonight, what do you consider a lovely day? I wonder what they would say. I wonder if their idea of a lovely day would match up with your idea of a lovely day. And I wonder if it did or didn't, if you asked them why they consider whatever they say to be a lovely day. Would that also be in line with what you consider to be a lovely day? Right, how are we going? Are you still with me? I guess what I'm really trying to say with all of these words is that we do not see the world as it is, we see the world as we are. If you've been following along with the podcast for a while now, you'll understand, or you'll remember that I quite like my quotes that I come across in different places. So there's one that really does speak to my point. We don't see the world as it is, we see the world as we are. In our family, we use perspective as a tool, asking questions like, well, how do you think they felt? Or what do you think was happening at that moment? Or if that was happening to you, how would you feel? Or what do you imagine? Asking ourselves to consider things from a different perspective. This is an idea that also really exists in society as well, especially with that whole concept of walk a mile in another person's shoes before you judge whatever decisions or understandings they've had. And although I really agree with the sentiment of that idea, I would like to just get a little bit deeper into it. So if we go and ask somebody to literally walk a mile in another person's shoes, well, the idea that you would walk a mile in my shoes, which is size 37 EU or size 6 US, I imagine that your whole mile that you would be walking would be in discomfort, feeling from your perspective how it is to walk in my shoes, not feeling from my perspective how it is to walk in my shoes. So then we could say, if you look at it figuratively and try and put yourself in the other person's place and try and to look at things from their perspective, you still have this problem, I believe, where you're unable to free yourself from your own perspective. So although you may be able to look from my perspective and, for example, think about or understand why I would consider today to be a lovely day because it's raining, you're still looking at that through your eyes, then through my eyes. I think that is part of the beauty of story and what we're trying to do here with this podcast, which is really, in each episode, show a different perspective on that concept of unabridged. And when we could look at it through somebody else's eyes, it might make or help us understand our own understanding a little better. Which brings us to the title of the episode, How to Get Along with Other People. So we've considered the idea of perspective and how it's not really possible to completely understand another person's perspective and how we all come from these different perspectives and how these perspectives, based on our previous experience and our hope for the future, go towards creating our meaning, which go towards creating what we understand as truths. And in that way, to get along with other people, we really get to the very simple point of listening to somebody else to actually listen, not listening to respond. This is an idea that has also been brought up on the podcast, and I think it's extremely valid, and what I'm trying to do by getting this out of my head is moving forward in the podcast, listening to hear what other people are saying as opposed to listening to respond and disrupt their story with my own thinking. Throughout the episodes, we have been listening to people share their stories from their own perspective about how they got to where they are currently. These ideas have been shaped by their previous experiences. To go back as far to the experiences of their ancestors. They have also been shaped by the experiences in the world around them as they are growing up and coming into, stepping into being, the different seasons of their life, the different ways that their framework of understanding the world has changed through the moments that have made them pivot. Sometimes that has been by death, sometimes that has been by trauma, sometimes that has been by fantastic adventures. Sometimes, and as we will hear going forward, it's about a healing journey and people's health and what it has taught them and how they would like what they have gone through to be a guide for others to not have to go through as much turmoil as they did. This has been a big theme throughout the podcast, the idea of education and facilitation and helping guide others in different ways to have different views and see different perspectives of the world. And it has gone as far as acknowledging with acting and art and story how we, and healing, how we offer or can see one perspective, but then once our ideas go out into the world, we recognize that those around us have varying perspectives, which will make their meaning of our thing that we have produced, of our conversation, or their truth and the way that they understand what we have to say, it will vary. And that's something that I'm really enjoying about the different perspectives that are offered, is that they can be so different, and in that way possibly offer us a different way to view the world. So in summary, when you want to consider the idea of how to get on with other people, I believe it's quite simple, in that we need to listen to hear what others have to say instead of listening to respond. The reason for this is that anything anybody says, you will judge through the perspective of your own experiences, and your own experiences, understandings, meanings, truth, and perspective may not necessarily add up to be the same as the person who you are talking to. So if we ask questions and learn to listen as opposed to just waiting to respond based on our own perspectives, then those conflicts and misunderstandings should cease to exist, and our ability to get on with other people should begin to grow. I hope that you've enjoyed this episode today. It's been a little different to other ones, and in some ways I know it's gotten a little bit repetitive or circular in my argument. I want to, well, I can't really premise something at the end, can I? I want to just make it clear that this is also my perspective and the way that I have come to see the world, and it's not at all a way that anybody else needs to see the world. But by sharing this idea, and as I mentioned, getting it out of my head, I hope to go forward with more space to listen as opposed to listening to respond.